says like this. Therefore, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's King James. The NIV is on the screen. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, that you offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. I want to talk from this thought. Ain't no half-stepping. Ain't no half-stepping. Game can be traced back to ancient Egypt, played with vines by Egyptian girls while the boys would look on. Came passed down through many generations. World War II, it crossed over into America, could be found on the streets of New York, then passed its way through the entire United States. It was a game called Double Dutch. Double Dutch was an amazing game. Wasn't really played by a lot of boys because it was a girls' game that they could still be girly doing and still have fun because of the way that people viewed what women did at the time. It wasn't so many things they could do outside of the house that would be considered fun at the time. So they found this game called Double Dutch. At one time it was called Dutch because it was just one rope. But they created something and put two together and they started spinning the ropes in forms, and you would see a person getting ready to get in the middle of the ropes, and you would see them standing there, and sometimes they had nursery rhymes, sometimes they had games, sometimes they would have call and response. But when you were playing Double Dutch, you would see them outside of the rope trying to do something, and when they were doing, they were trying to catch the rhythm of the rope. And while they were trying to catch the rhythm of the rope, they realized when you tried it too soon, you realize that you cannot jump in until you catch the rhythm of what was happening. You would see them like this. They were studying the ropes. They were preparing themselves. They had stances. They had calls. And then they would get in and jump. And last a good while. Not because of skill, but because they got down the rhythm of the ropes. It takes time standing outside of them ropes to make sure you know what's happening on the inside of the ropes. Society has taught us in 2022, it's only okay to be committed to not being committed. How many things do you stand outside of and watch happen for everybody else but refuse to jump in for yourself? I know Romans 12 tells us the requirements that you have to have if you're going to be with God. Paul writes it, and it's so pretty how he puts it. I beseech you, I want you, I require you, I think you should, brothers. From what I know, I think if you want to get with him, this is how you got to do it. The problem is that most of us don't want to be with God like Paul wanted to be with God. Most of us struggle. We want to be weekend lovers. We just want to see him on the weekend. For the one that woke you up this morning, started you on your way, put clothes on your back, put shoes on your feet. The old folks say would put running in your feet. And he the same God that allowed you to get 7 days of work and allowed you to get a check to pay for the house that you're sleeping in. That same God is the same God that you ask what time church started and what time it's over. That same God that you won't plan your life around worshiping him in corporate worship together because you got something you got to do. How many of us struggle? Because we want a committed God. we got feeble, fickle relationship with it. I don't know where y'all thought this was going. I thought it was a great title for a great message, because some of us have gotten into relationship with God and you've tippy-toed around what you should be doing. But the truth of the matter is, you can't half step into this. Yeah. Half saved is still unsaved. Oh, I used to like the old church. The old church would call them sinners. And it didn't mean that you sinned. It just meant you lived a life of sin. You didn't have the answer to your problems. And the only difference between the hoodlum and the believer was that on Sunday morning, one sat under the tree and the other one went to see a tree. We blended it together so much. Told them that I can be a church at home. I'm church by myself. It doesn't take all of that. I don't have to go to church every Sunday. I can go, but God, what if God said I don't have to wake up every day? I don't have to wake you up tomorrow. I woke you up for the last 30 years. You don't have to wake up tomorrow. I wake you up the day after tomorrow. How well would you respond? If the God that you serve treated you how you treated him, ain't no half stepping. You want to be married on the weekends? The truth of the matter is, even at a church like Victory, the most you spend is an hour and a half on Sundays and 45 minutes on Tuesday. And you fickle with that. Did you hear the lesson Tuesday? I had it on. I was doing something. It was a lot happening. I was moving. But your whole life was planned around the people that told you they'd give you a check. Somebody asked you to go out of town on the weekend, you free and available. But if they ask you Monday through Friday, you got to check with somebody. What is more important? The job or the one that gave you? I serve a God that's able. I need somebody with me. If your job is so knowledgeable that they can tell you, it's only so many times you can take off and still be employed here. Why is the church the only place? You show up every 6 months. And we supposed to still be here and understand your plight and your problem and say you still saved, sanctified, and sold out. But the God you didn't serve has been stopping by your address, touched you with his finger of love, put breath in your body. Is the same God that you couldn't care enough to give him the worship. Three things. I'm got to get out of here. Three things. I'm done. How do you know? How do you show ain't no half seven? Paul says three things. First one is the choice. He says, I urge you, King James, I beseech you. This is just why I'm offering you something. You ain't got to pick it or not. If you want to, do it. If you don't, don't. But it's a choice. Old saints had a saying when I was growing up. Say, I have decided to make Jesus my choice. See, it's a decision. I love God because anything that see, what's spiritual is always natural, and what's natural is always spiritual. What operates and work, the principles that operate and work in the spirit also operate and work in the natural. See, in the natural, if I grab you, take you, put you in the trunk of my car and take you somewhere you desire not to be, that's kidnapping. That's the same thing in the spirit. I can't make you get saved because I rob you around everything that should be saved. That's why it's free will and right of choice. You can do what you want to do, but I beseech you. See, I can lean on you and tell you that you might not be smart enough to make the right decision, but I'm going to put the right one in the front of you. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, see, people People have misunderstood, and so I might lose some members behind this statement. People have misunderstood that their lifestyle and decisions and all of this stuff will make you go to hell. That's not true. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died and raised from death, and you shall be. Y'all missed it. The problem is that you wanted to stop with the confessing and the believing, and you didn't want to have no showing of. I can confess that I'm married. I believe that I'm married. But if I ain't wearing no ring and you'll never see me with my wife, somebody got some questions. So why do you feel like you can be with God, walk with God, say you with God, and be in relationship with God, and nothing about you says saved, sanctified, or sold out? I beseech you. The view of God's mercies. I like how he says that, in the view of God's mercy, which means literally this. Mercies is what you should have had happen to you that didn't happen to you. Grace is getting what you didn't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you did. See, mercy, being in the mercies of God, means that God seen your mess up and held back the fight that should have been headed towards you. Y'all missed it. He stands you in the middle of the question and say, hey, I think you should be with him, but understand the same God that you should be with saw you yesterday, the day before yesterday, and when you didn't think nobody was seeing you all by yourself, in the view of his mercies, of everything that he's done for you, because he's a God. He doesn't have to be reminded of what he's done for you. It's right there fresh on his mind, because he's a God that's everywhere at all times. He's the kind of God that whatever you did, he's looking at it at the same time that he's looking at you right now. In the view of his mercies, I have to make the choice. Made a choice to follow. Made the choice to choose. I made the choice to be with him. Everybody not going to like your choice. Everybody not going to agree with your choice. And what I've learned with society today, when you make the right one, most people are unhappy with you. They'll celebrate all kinds of foolishness but won't come to church. They will shout at the house, won't come to church. It's a choice. Okay, y'all. Okay. Oh my God. I beseech you, brethren, in the view of God's mercies. The first thing is the choice. I got to get out of here. Second thing is the cost. The cost. I beseech you, brother, in the view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies. I like King James. Let me pull it back over here. To present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. The cost of the choice is a living sacrifice. Yes. The cost is it's an oxymoronic statement that you can be living sacrifice. It's really not the same thing that sacrifices are cost you your life. Okay, y'all missed it. My favorite analogy that helped me understand the difference between a sacrifice and an offering, because you know you can give an offering. It costs you, but it don't cost you what a sacrifice costs. Come to the breakfast table with me real quick. You sit around the breakfast table and you grab some eggs. It was an offering. No, the chicken offered up an egg and went back to the rest of his evening. Cost him a little pain. Went through a little something to produce it. It was an offering. But when you stick your fork in that bacon, it was a sacrifice. He didn't leave from making the sacrifice. He didn't breathe after the sacrifice. It cost him it all. Paul says, I've got a God that can make your take your sacrifice and leave you living.
It's an amazing thing because it's really the picture of the slave. Paul also says, I'm a slave for Christ. He says, I'm a slave for Christ. But he doesn't use just slave. He literally means the word bond servant. The word bond servant literally means that he's bonded to the master. And it's not just because I am submitted to him, but it's if I had a choice, I would still stick with him. I'm his because he owns me, but if he didn't own me, I still be with it. A bond servant literally says, I don't have any thoughts. I don't have any opinions. Whatever he says do, I'm going to do it because I am for whatever he is for. And see, what they would do was with their slave, when they realized that they really had you, they would let you go farther than other people could go because they knew where your mind was. He says he's a living sacrifice. See, the problem for me is we'll give other people more than we give God. God says, give me you. And watch this. What I give you back with the rest of you will be greater than what you gave me. Yeah, okay. Y'all don't like Bible. Okay. You. John Legend said all of me. If John Legend can require all of you, and he ain't seen nobody die for you, he's not seen, he didn't step out on nothing and make everything. If he can require all of you, see, the problem is that you've perfected giving people what God requires. Okay, let me get out of here. I got to get out of here. I'm done. Not only do you have a struggle with giving God the itsy bitsy pieces of you because you only, you know, it's comfortable to give him the small pieces. Can I tell you the other side of it? Because if you comfortable with that, see, y'all too saved. But if you play poker and you got a good hand, they got a thing called going all. You can win without going all in, but you don't get what you would get unless you all. Okay, investing. When you invest in the stock market, if you put a couple of dollars in, you can get a couple of dollars out. But if you put a whole lot of dollars in, you can fool around and get a whole lot of dollars. Okay. If you getting the results you're getting from God with giving him pennies, what could he do if you gave him all? You can't afford to tithe, so you've been giving him $20 and he's been blessing you over and over again. What if you actually gave him what he required? I'm struggling. I ain't making it. Well, if you met the requirements, because it comes with a cost. Comes with a cost. If you're not getting the results you want, look at what you're putting in. I can go to church, but do I have to go to Bible study? The problem is you don't learn the book unless you study. And you fooled around and gave false witness on the stand. Perjured yourself. Because you didn't understand that it was taught on Tuesday that I'm an eyewitness. I've seen it for myself. I've seen what he can do. Okay. Okay. The problem with most of us is that we struggle because you cannot give God credit because you still want the cash. You can't give him credit for what he's done because you still waiting on him to give you the cash for the stuff that you put expectations on him that you didn't give him the stuff for. You don't understand the cost of being committed to God. I can't be half in with God because he requires a living
sacrifice.
Yes. Yes.
Means he'll take my life and let me keep my life.
Yes.
All that to say.
Yes.
God is such an awesome God. I'm got to get out of here. God is such an awesome God. He'll fire you and let you stay in the position.
Yes.
Keep getting the checks and reap the benefits of the position while somebody else is in the field getting anointed for the same spot that you got. Come here, David. David, when you was anointed to be king, there was already a king. He was over there doing kingly things. And watch this, God will use somebody else to prepare for the position that you're in because you didn't go all in.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of us struggle. But you don't want to pay the cost. It's going to cost me a little something. People that used to text you no more when you got sold out. Phone don't ring like it used to ring when you sold out.
Yes.
No, they didn't mind you double dutching with Jesus. But when you went all in, all of a sudden, I love that people don't call you two-faced when you're really being two-faced. They call you two-faced when you really change. No, because you was two-faced. Because when if the person they seen at church was the same person they seen out there, you would all of a sudden think, then you really.
Yeah.
But when you say, I'm saved, I'm letting that stuff go, I'm letting that life go, I'm not struggling with that anymore, I'm presenting myself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Why would you do that? Because you don't understand what God has been through. And you won't know why I'm living right, because I need something from him I've never gotten from him before. So I'm going to have to do some stuff I've never done before. See, the problem is you don't understand that it's levels to this thing. It's some stuff you can't get because you ain't tapped all the way. I was unmarried. I was dating. It was ladies' mothers would tell you, you can't request wifely benefits from the girlfriend. So why you have saved telling God, I want it all. I'm taking back what the devil stole. He didn't steal it, you gave it to him. You was out there stealing. You said that your money was funny, but then he went and ran your bank account and seen all of the stuff you've been spending money on. That wasn't the devil, that was you that swiped the card. I can't get my money together, but you don't tithe. Ask for an extra offering. He talking to them, he ain't talking to me. But then you looking at them saying you want what they got. I just want to live where God can use me. He can't use you if you ain't gave him nothing. Okay. Present yourself as a living. I'm done, baby. I promise you I'm done. Ain't no half. First thing we have is the choice. Second thing you have is the cost. Third thing you have is the commitment. It's what you do when you do what you do. Why would I give God all of that? Because it's my true and reasonable. It says that's a reasonable service. Y'all missed it. It's the least you could do. Okay, when I was in school, they had a test called the tax test. I don't know what they call it today, but you couldn't get out of school before you wrote and passed the test. And the problem is that most of us didn't understand because I don't take tests well. Well, the problem is not the test taking, it's that it was a minimal standards test. If you can't give God you, he sure can't get your stuff. Y'all don't. If you can't give God you sure gonna struggle when the devil show up. If you're struggling with sunshine, the nighttime is sure gonna trip you. You're struggling when ain't nothing going on and all of your money there, you scared about what's gonna happen. What are you gonna do when he comes in like a flood? You just got a little leak. But if you ever been in a flood, sometimes you got to run before the flood show up. Okay. True worship doesn't involve stuff. Doesn't involve
the blessings of God. Worship is not about things. It's about the heart of the thing. See, you'll praise God for stuff. I can't shout because my bank account's short. I understand that. Your memory too short. So don't shout. But worship ain't got nothing to do with bank accounts or budgets. Worship has nothing to do with what's outside that you rolled in, the people at your job, or the check they gave you, if you had insufficient funds on Thursday, and it came. None of that matters. They hated on you. They talked about you. They scandalized your name. None of that matters for worship. Why do you worship? Just because of who he is. See, praise, okay, the reason for your praise changes. But your worship only gets better. Why do you say that, Reverend? Because you worship differently when you know more about it. See, you worship one way when you learn certain stuff about it. Then you say, you know what? Well, Grandma said was right. I used to know that because Grandma said it. But now I know it for myself. See, I grew up hearing Grandma say he's a doctor in the sick room. But until you've been on your bed of affliction and seen him do it for God, use a healer. See, real worship is not about him doing it. It's about him having the ability to. I worship him not for what he's done. I worship him because of who he is. You might not have healed me, but you are a healer. And maturity will say he's not only a healer, he's a keeper, because he'll keep me until the healing shows up. The old saint said it like this: he might not come when you want. I gotta get out of here. We gotta go to Baptist church. So can I get Baptist for you for a second? What worship really is demonstrated in four gospels, and it's clearly demonstrated after the Garden of Gethsemane, because Jesus says to his father, he said, "Father, if you remove this cup from me, I'd be really happy. But nevertheless, not my will, your will be done." The problem is that wasn't a living sacrifice. What was living sacrifice? I'm going to St. Paul today. I might as well go this morning. Because over 2,000 years ago, he had to show somebody he was all in. The Bible says they watched him from judgment hall to judgment hall. King said, "I find no fault." They whipped him all night long. Old preacher say that any lesser man would have died on the whipping post. When they said that wasn't enough, they marked him up, gone out of power, and they dropped him low and they hung him. And he died. That's a living sacrifice. He died. He died till the sun refused to shine. He died. He died till the moon was dripping in blood. He died. He died till the earthquake had a seizure. Till the earthquake started feeling it right like a drunken man. He did. He did die. He died until the grave started to open up and you see the dead walking around Jerusalem. He did. And that was a sacrifice. And he said he stayed dead all night, Friday night. He stayed dead all day, Saturday. But if I was at St. Paul right now, I'd say, but early Sunday morning, he passed the living at. He got up on Sunday morning in a tomb that should have been kept, ended up being borrowed. He got up and the tomb was empty. He got up with all power in his hand. Who wouldn't serve a God that will demonstrate with his own child that you can come out of what should have took you out? Tired of getting half results. Tired of seeing other people prosper when I seen they story, and I'm living better than them. Why? Are you all? You all in? He's that kind of God.
Yes.
First lady, come on. God is an amazing God. Servant to come right here with a basket. I know we have an order, and we'll get back to it next Sunday. This is what God told me while I was preaching. And I'm not going to do it long, because I told my wife to come up here. But if put the offering stuff on the screen. I want us to give, but this is for the people. God challenged me this week. He says the problem is that giving on your phone, giving on your device is convenient, but sacrifice ain't. Last Sunday was the last Sunday we're going to give without at least coming and touching the basket.
Amen.
You don't have to put it in there. If you want to give on your phone, give on your phone. But you're going to come up as a sign that we're doing it together.
Yes. Yes.
God has really been dealing with me about these sheep. And he said that the good thing about sheep is they're herd animals. They do their best work when they're together.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you sitting all the way over there, you sitting all the way over there, how are we giving together?
My God.
The first thing God told me. Second thing God told me, well, if you here today, you normally don't tithe. I ain't come to ask you to wave your hands. I ain't come to tell me. And when I say tithe, I'm not saying give a tithe if you're not a tither. What that mean? You don't have a lifestyle of tithing.
Yeah.
When it's convenient and when it ain't. That you begin to tithe to the point that your budget starts after the tithe. If that's not you, I'm gonna ask that you give a tithe and start it today.
Amen.
This is what God told me. Say, you can tell people about problems, financials, or with the church and all of that stuff, and what we're trying to do and where we're trying to go. But if they don't get right, having a building won't fix them. If they don't get right, watch this, y'all. Because God said, your worry shouldn't even be your worry. Because it's my church. Do we got out? Larry, because guess what? When we out, we out. And when we got too much, thank you, Jesus. But what would I rather have? $50,000 in the bank account or a church full of people that's living off the benefits of tithing? I watched Different World. Whitney was telling Dwayne the kind of man she wanted. He said, well, what if he broke? She said, a man like that will never be broke. Why you bring that up? Because if whatever your issues are, if you start giving right to God, no half steps. Not convenient giving. When you got it and when you don't. Pastor, I've been broke. Because you're not. So this is what I'm asking you to do. It's tithes and offering time. I'm not asking anybody so sacrificially if you don't feel led to. What I'm asking you to do is stop half-stepping in your giving, in your life, in your dedication to the ministry. Because guess what? You can only get out what you put in. Because he's a God that doesn't add. He multiplies.
that's such an amazing thing, because he can't multiply what you didn't put in. So, I'm asking everybody to get whatever you're doing. If you need an envelope, if you need to do whatever you need to do, let's prepare to give. I want to stop for a moment and thank everybody that sold on Wednesday. Amen. If you wasn't on for the prayer call, you missed it. God had opened the window and showed us favor to be able to close out our Angleton location without costing us a penny. They didn't ask for us to pay extra or nothing. They didn't ask for us to do anything. Matter of fact, they asked me to tell them how much we was behind on any bills, and I was happy to tell them we wasn't. Amen. I tell y'all about the favor of God so much that I want you to really catch what happened. We used a company that came referred by somebody I really trusted to move us out of that building. And I estimated $1,300. And y'all did it on a Wednesday night. I ain't know nothing about it. Should have been on for prayer. And that $1,300, I had $300 for storage, had $1,000 for movers. Storage ended up being $378, and I did it before I did anything, and I said, Lord Jesus, I messed up a budget. This ain't gonna work out. We was leaving the storage, and the guy said, Pastor, I want to bless you. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, this is normally what we do, and it's this much. But he said, I just kept seeing your spirit. He said, so if you give me $600, we'll be fine. They moved the whole building. And storage. Give me $615. And we good. I said, okay. Okay, that's fine. Here you go. Watch this, y'all. I added it up. I said, well, God, I raised $1,300. And the people gave right at $1,300. And I was walking to my car, and I turned around and asked him, well, what do you need? He said, Pastor, just pray for me. I said, let's pray for your business. Let's pray for you. Let's cover you. And God told me this, y'all. This is what God, I'm telling y'all what God does. He says, I don't own the company. I don't know how my boss is going to feel about what I just told you. I say, well, look, I'm going to cash at you the difference. And if your boss has a problem, give it to him. Because it was right at the 13 that we said. If your boss has a problem, give it to him. But if he don't, keep it for your favor. Why are we doing this? I need y'all to see that the seeds you sowed, he had an immediate return. Because of seed you sowed, God used you to bless. So if you ready to give, you put it up in the text to give. You can do it on Cash App, you can do it on the website. But once you give, I want you to come and touch the basket. Why are we touching the basket? Because I want us to touch in unison together. I really want us. Give me 1 second. While y'all preparing to do this, if you already gave, if you gave this week, just come and touch the basket. Whatever you're doing, if you're not giving nothing, don't come and touch it. Same for you. It's not about amount, this is about seed. Because we're going to be seen together. Amen. The storm is passing over. I need two or three people that'll declare something with me. Then we're going to shout, I'm going to get out of your way. I'm going to shout. I feel it, don't you? I need to go right here. Last Sunday, I want y'all to hear me because this is a, we declare things during our giving. Because you speak something and God hears it. The Bible says that the prophet said that it wouldn't rain. God never told him that. But because he said it, the rain stopped. Read the Bible. The prophet said it would not rain. And rain stopped happening. Just because the prophet said it. This is my declaration. That this is the last of a normal offering that we're going to give. But this is a church of abnormal giving, abnormal blessing, abnormal receiving.